Overseas now, the Chinese foreign minister has hit back at allegations of ethnic genocide against the Uyghur people in the Xinjiang province, calling the claims ridiculously absurd. At the annual news conference on Sunday, Minister Wang Yi insisted that China was eradicating extremism. International condemnation is growing with accusations of rape, forced sterilizations and the separation of children from their families within re-education camps. Michael Bristow is the BBC's Asia Pacific editor and joins us now. Good morning, Michael. Michael, a very strong response from the Chinese foreign minister. Was that a surprise or is this to be expected given the criticisms that have been growing about the treatment of the Uyghur people?
Well, Wang Yi, the Chinese foreign minister's comments about Xinjiang were quite strong, essentially saying that there's no such thing as genocide. It was a preposterous, absurd to suggest that such a thing could happen, and it was only a lie perpetrated by some Western politicians. So quite a strong defence, and it was a high-profile defence. This press conference that Wang Yi was holding, he holds every year at China's annual parliamentary session, and really gives him and China a platform to explain to the world exactly what it thinks about a number of issues. So Wang Yi was using this opportunity to really put forward this powerful and strong defense of China's position.
It comes in the wake of some strong reporting from the likes of the BBC, as I mentioned there, these claims of forced sterilisation, rape, among other things. So is the pressure now building? Are we seeing the pressure build on China to do something about this?
I think the pressure is certainly building. A few years ago, people hadn't even heard of Xinjiang or Uyghurs. Now, anybody who takes any interest in China will certainly be aware of the issues which are going on in Xinjiang, some of which you've just mentioned there. And the pressure is building, yes. Just this year, in the last few months, the United States, the Netherlands, Canada have all decided, their parliaments or their governments have decided that what's going on in Xinjiang does amount to genocide. There have been a number of campaigns as well at national level, primarily pushed forward by Uyghur exiles, Uyghurs living abroad, to force national governments to take into account what China's doing in Xinjiang when it forms trade deals and engages with China in other areas. In Britain, for example, there's a big push to try and not allow the British government to trade with countries which engage in this kind of behaviour. So certainly I think the pressure is growing, and I think China's aware of that. It's looking to try to get its point of view over, try to get its defence, because it can see in the rest of the world there's growing concern, and perhaps further down the line, legal problems. China might be challenged in courts. There's already an attempt to challenge it in the International Criminal Court for what's going on in Xinjiang. So it's something China can't ignore. That's why Wang Yi chose this stage, really, to set out China's defence.
What does China actually acknowledge when it comes to the Uyghur and its treatment? Re-education camps? I mean, that's not in dispute.
It's a very difficult issue to talk about because they have a very different idea of what's going on there to the West. So, for example, they admit they're running a campaign in Xinjiang. What they're saying they're doing is trying to get rid of terrorism and extremism and people trying to separate Xinjiang from the rest of the country. They also say they're trying to alleviate poverty there. But China, historically, the Communist Party has always had a very different idea of what it can do with people, different from Western nations. So, for example, you know, it's been common practice in China, for example, to move hundreds of thousands of people from one place to another if the circumstances dictated. I remember once in China witnessing tens of thousands of people being moved because they're expanding a dam. The people there had no choice but to listen to what the people or the government was doing. And it's the same partly in Xinjiang. People are just used to in China listening and having to do what the government tells them to do, even if that means sending a million people to re-education camps. And I think in one respect, China was caught on the hop with this because it sees its role in China as being able to do these kind of things, and it doesn't really have this idea that individuals might have a right to object to something the Chinese government sees as in its own national interest.
Which is interesting when you throw Hong Kong into the mix, because obviously the people, or many of the people who have grown up there, do have that concept, and that's creating the tension.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly it. You've got people in Hong Kong who've grown up in, they've had no democracy. It was a colony, a British colony, so they've had no democracy there, but they have had freedoms. They have had a rule of law. They have had courts where you could go and get justice. They have been able to log on to the internet, express different political opinions, protest, complain at their leaders, all these kind of things. This is just anathema to the Chinese government. They just don't allow that kind of thing to happen in mainland China. So when you get this happening in Hong Kong and over recent years, more ferocious criticism of the Chinese government, they just see it as unacceptable, unacceptable in a way that in Western countries, we just kind of have to get on and deal with it. They just don't want to deal with it. They think it's destabilizing and they just don't want to hear it. That's essentially what the problem is in Hong Kong. You just got a clash of two very different cultures, and in Xinjiang to a certain extent as well, which is why the Chinese government is kind of baffled a little bit and why the Western world sees this as such a big issue.
Michael Bristow, thank you very much for that. Much appreciated. The BBC's Asia Pacific editor.